recently this past week went to a concert, and during the concert, several times, people were using their phones to capture video and snap selfies. And all the while, this concert was being performed live. Now, I realize we have this growing compulsion to document every small aspect of our lives. And I don't really understand why anybody would care why their friends would be concerned with what they ate yesterday, but Facebook proves me that I'm in the minority of the misunderstanding. What did strike me, though, is almost superfluous or completely maybe unnecessary were the videos being recorded. You know, a cell phone, while we do have great strides in the quality of video, is never going to sound as good as a live performance. The video is going to be a little bit different. The sound, obviously, is going to be a lot different. And yet, there were people, and people continuously like to record activities like this to try to capture some small aspect of this, of an event they're in. You know, other than to maybe elicit memories of an activity you've been part of, you know, that tiny shaky cam is never going to compare to the real event. So why waste time doing that? Why? Well, luckily you didn't see. I think you have to go to school events to see people holding up iPads to film, blocking your view. But why spend the time to try to record something that will not be as good? What use will it really be? Well, you know, this idea of trying to capture something like this, a performance, isn't a new phenomenon. You know, for bands that used to encourage recording, even starting in the 60s, like the Grateful Dead, the closer your copy to that bootleg was in generations to the original soundboard that made that recording, the more sought after that copy was. The closer you could become or could have to that, you know, that recording of that, the best copy, people would brag about what generation their bootlegs were from. This, of course, as I'm getting dull stares from maybe younger people, was the age of tape cassettes, where a copy would always lose some quality from the original. Maybe a little bit less nowadays with the digital age, but in the analog age, every copy you made lost something. I remember an ad campaign when I was a kid growing up that sought to address this very issue. And the slogan was, is it live or is it Memorex? And Memorex, for those that probably don't know, is a tape cassette manufacturer. I have heard, because records are back in, I have heard some inkling that maybe cassettes will be brought back as well to make analog recordings of our... Well, you know, they touted, Memorex especially, and probably all of these tape manufacturers, that their products would degrade the originals much less than their competitors. But quality was always degraded by making those copies. And even in the digital age, HD videos don't fully capture what it's like to be in a live event. You know, being satisfied with facsimiles regarding our entertainment is maybe a matter of personal preference. It's a trivial problem. You know, I'm quite happy watching YouTube videos of performances to see what artists sound like, people I might not ever see. But, you know, society hasn't stopped there. Mankind has done the same thing with many parts, and probably the most important part of our lives, and that is true religion. You know, replicating that, degrading that, is not a trivial matter. It's not a matter up for personal taste. You know, the world, as we know, is filled with interpretations of the truth. But all of those interpretations are merely shadows. People even put forth the idea, well, there is no absolute truth. They're half-truths. They're a partial truth. They're a truth based upon your own opinion, but there is no absolute truth. Well, the world is drastically wrong. There is absolute truth, and it is God the Father. And the reason that forgeries exist in religion specifically is because of the influences of Satan. And the reason is that is because original ideas, original, and as you get to the truth of God, keeping that in that state takes effort. It takes resources to maintain. In Jude 1, in verse 3, Jude exhorted the brethren to keep that, to keep that as a focus in their spiritual development. Jude 1 and verse 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." We have to spend our resources trying to keep this perfect truth perfect, to try to keep what God has opened our minds up to in a pure state. You know, the original was given to us. Christ was here. He taught his disciples, and they have carried on his teachings, and that has been passed down through generation after generation, sometimes and usually going astray, but there has been a core understanding that has been upheld through God's devoted servants. And that mantle is upon our church, upon each one of us, brethren, to keep that truth true. But you know, the tendency to make a copy that suits our own desires, our own methods of looking at life, is always going to be present around the truth. The truth pulls that in. That is a, anytime you have the absolute truth of God's perfect plan, there's always going to be somebody around there trying to bend it to their own ideals. Continuing in Jude 1, and what he was talking to the brethren about in verse 4, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Making a copy, making a facsimile of the truth is just that. It's denying God's truth for our own desires. So why would men then deny the original? Other than to point to themselves, to say that they had the best understanding, that they had the truth more so than what was delivered by Christ to his followers. Well, as I said, this attitude has always surrounded the truth of God. And it is Satan, like a roaring lion that we've read about, who walks around and seeks to devour, to corrupt, to destroy that which God has revealed to us. That's all he does. And that's why the truth is always subject to being clouded, to being lost, because Satan is there at all of our heels, nipping at him, trying to get us to just move a little bit away from the original. 2 Timothy 3, and verse 8. "Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." The Common English Bible translates these two scriptures as this: "These people oppose the truth in the same way that Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. Their minds are corrupt and their faith is counterfeit. But they don't get very far. Their foolishness will become obvious to everyone like those others." It should be very obvious to us, brethren, if we are corrupting the truth. Because we have God giving us those open eyes to see what the truth really is. You know, Timothy continues to warn the brethren that the original truth, that which God opened this world's mind through His Spirit to understand, will only be kept through perseverance and a willingness to not be deceived by a copy. If we keep that willingness and that desire to not be deceived, if we pray for God to not allow us to be have our minds clouded over, we will be able to attain salvation. Continuing in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." We are going to face this constant threat of having the truth that we've been had our minds opened up to, of being clouded over, of losing it. And that's something we have to persevere to try to keep and to hold close and dear. And the degree of truth that we rely on will determine our salvation. And that number, that degree, should be approaching 100% continuously. You know, Paul showed the importance of fully embracing this truth, not with a half attitude, kind of in a partial way, but fully trying to embrace God's revealed plan. In Romans 6 and verse 16, Romans 6 and 16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." You know, there are ultimately only two options regarding our salvation, either death or eternal life. You know, all that Satan can really offer us in this time, that this quickly eroding time period that he is going to have any influence, all he can really offer us is a lower version copy of what God is promising his people. And you know, to say maybe even that Satan is offering us a copy might be giving too much recognition to his deceit. What he is offering is to share in his punishment and what he is facing, and that is death. You know, mankind has fallen prey to Satan's lies for so long. The standard for what really is lasting, for what really is truly godly, no longer has a source to the original truth. Man doesn't know, without God opening his mind, what truth is. You know, the truth truly is unintelligible without God's Spirit opening our minds. The world is blind, is being led astray by that roaring, that devouring lion. Ultimately leading us toward, or we should be, I should say, trending towards and not away from developing accuracy in understanding and keeping this understanding. You know, man finds pleasure in torment, subject to the yoke of Satan. It doesn't seem like a yoke. It doesn't seem like you're subject to him, but that's really what it is. All of the passing pleasures truly are torment to our souls, to our understanding, to us becoming part of God's family. And they lead to destruction. Thinking that, but man, of course, as having been deceived by Satan, thinks that those things, those passing pleasures, will bring just that, pleasure and satisfaction. But anything not of God leads to one place, and that's death. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, for final scripture. First Peter 1, starting verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And that includes all of us, brethren. We will all be facing these. And in verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. This is what we are all going towards, the salvation of your souls. You know, brethren, as we go out and to take part in our daily lives, as we share with the world the image of God by His Spirit living within us that was revealed by Christ, it is crucial that we reflect on the true and the lasting God, not a facsimile conjured up and propagated by the imitator, by the deceiver. Anything less leads us away from God and ultimately to our destruction.